and welcome to another episode of Creating Powerful Impact. I'm your host, Shay Wheat, founder of Grace and Ease Productions, where we support entrepreneurs just like you with event-based marketing and sales strategies, allowing you to build your authority, your credibility, and your visibility in your industry. Today's guest is amazing. It's been a few years when I first was introduced to Heather Hubbard, who you may not know this based on like watching her now, but she used to be a former lawyer who turned entrepreneur and now entertainer. So she is the host of the popular podcast Hustle and Flow. Highly recommend you go check that one out. And she also leads luxury retreats for high achieving women. She was named one of Nashville's 40 Under 40 and has been featured in Grammy Magazine, Forbes, Business Insider, and more. Please help me welcome Heather to the Creating Powerful Impact stage. How are you?
I'm so good. Thank you for having me.
I'm super stoked because we met years ago through one of your events, summer camp, and started connecting. And one, I think it's just like the red-haired ladies getting together and creating some really amazing fieriness out in the world. But I think what's really important, and especially for our lady listeners and viewers watching this, is your journey in terms of going from like super high power lawyer to entrepreneur. And then like, how does that actually support your business in being in the hustle versus the flow, right? Which is the name of your podcast.
Yeah. I mean, look, I'm really good at hustling. Like I can do that in my sleep. The flow, I have to be really intentional about. So I was working insane hours when I was in law, and then I became an entrepreneur and I still worked insane hours. I still am so glad that I made that move because I have more autonomy and more freedom. And I really just enjoy creating and being my own boss. But I definitely, I think, still found myself very much in that hustle mode, even though I knew and appreciated how much importance there is in flow. I mean, my podcast is named that. Sometimes we have to teach what we need to learn.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Well, and you know, my company's Grace and Ease Productions, because events can be crazy, intense, and moving and changing and constantly like, and how do you have as much grace and ease in that as possible? So that's, I think, part of the reason why I called it that as well.
Yeah.
But would you mind sharing a little bit more in regards to like, your business is really only as healthy as you are?
Oh, yes. Yes, 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 yes. So, you know, my business just kept growing and growing, leaps and bounds, really. And, you know, Shay, I think we met right as COVID started happening, because I am someone who is always kind of like on the front lines and jumping in, and I'm not afraid of trying new things. And that's when we were all really pivoting to that virtual world in a different way that had never been done before. And, you know, and I had never done anything quite like that, which is of course why I hired you. Oh my goodness, there were so many things we were dealing with then, partly because we put it together so quickly, and partly because it was a bit new. But yeah, you were grace and ease the entire time. I was not. But part of that was because I had an underlying health issue that I was not aware of. And it continued to get worse and worse and worse. And it took almost a year before it was actually diagnosed, which I think this is what a lot of, you know, high achieving professional women that are of a certain age, the doctors tend to dismiss you. They tend to say you are an aging woman. And I have now heard this over and over again, when you have a real health issue, like it takes like your advocacy to actually figure out what's going on. So I had an adrenal tumor. And that adrenal tumor, I was basically getting nonstop cortisol, which created a ton of physical effects, but it was also hijacking my emotions. And, you know, I wasn't thinking as clearly, and I just kept pushing through. I was like, I can do anything. We don't know what this is. We'll figure it out. And even when they diagnosed me with the tumor, I was like, what's the plan? Right? Like, but just work, work, work. You know, we have like there really was never an option to pull back. And I went until the point that, you know, I was literally about to break. The business was about to break. And I had a doctor say, like, can you just take a sabbatical? And I was like, no.
Yeah.
Who can take a sabbatical? Like, what are you even talking about? And but there was something in my heart that knew that it needed to happen. And so I did have to shut down the business for several years. I'm healthy again and I'm back. But when you are running your own company and your health is an issue, it can make it very, very difficult. And obviously, hopefully, you know, some people won't have a really bad crisis like that. But one, you never know. But two, it does go to the bigger point of, and I truly have now seen it and believe it, that you, your business, it's only as healthy as you are. Because if you can't sustain yourself and the people around you and your clients, the business is going to really struggle, which of course will then make you struggle. And it is just a vicious, vicious cycle. So really focusing on our health is so important.
Yeah. So now, one, I'm so excited that everything is like beautiful.
Yes, me too.
But like looking back, you know, hindsight is 2020. Would you have, if you could go back and change things to get it to the point where it didn't have to necessarily be the sabbatical and shut everything down for years, what would you have like either been the warning signs, or would you have started to change, or what have you started to implement now knowing everything going forward in your business?
Well, I think if I could go back, I would have started to shift the way that some of the business was working, as opposed to just scaling, as opposed to just growing for growth and scale sake. I would have looked at, okay, what offers are taking up a lot of my time, but aren't actually helping me, you know, reap the rewards. And sometimes our businesses are just set up that way, right? Like, especially if it's like the entry level where you're nurturing people. But I had had a business long enough that essentially I could have cut that out and just focused on my highest level clients for a while, as opposed to worrying about the whole entire ecosystem. I probably would have laid off employees faster, really making it a smaller company. It would have, I think, helped it. It would have, I think, prevented me from having to end up taking that sabbatical potentially. Moving forward, I think that was the second part of your question, like how has it impacted me now? That's a little bit the same and a little bit different. So I don't know what it looks like to not work. So when I had to take that year off, I was miserable. You know, some people are like, oh, if I had a year off, I would just be doing so many fun things. I was not, because one, I didn't know what a hobby was. I didn't know how to like do things outside of work. Like that was my life. And so learning how to enjoy life in a new way when your satisfaction can't come from your work, it led me to some really interesting things like art and more creativity. I started doing stand-up comedy, which I never would have thought I would have done. I started doing more of trading stocks, so really finding new ways to make money. And so now that I am back, I actually have no desire to go back to the business that I had. So, you know, in many ways, it was one of those, you know, it was a blessing in disguise because it really gave me clarity I probably wouldn't have had otherwise. But now, you know, I love big stages. I love big events. But the way that I deal with that now is either I'm doing the stand-up comedy or I'm doing the emceeing and selling for someone else. Personally, part of what allows me to keep my business smaller but high profit is I am just working in small retreats for high achieving women and creating a community around that. So I think the business is more diversified now, not necessarily strategically, just because this is what brings me joy in this moment and allows me to focus more on my health and my flow.
Yeah. Oh, so many things were in what you just said. So one, you've kind of restructured it. I love the piece where you're like, oh, I probably would have let people go sooner than I had. If I'd really done more of an audit and actually looked at the numbers and listened to what, I wanted to do and what was bringing me joy versus just going after the hustle and going after the scale and the growth, right? Because it's like, oh, well, that's the next best step. We have to scale. What does that look like? And how do we go about doing that? And so on and so on and so on, right? But then you lost a lot of the joy. And I know you as Heather Joy Hubbard, right? You got rid of
That is my name.
the joy. And so that's huge as kind of an aha if you're watching and listening, like, is any of this resonating? And then I also appreciate, like, you are brilliant at your smaller retreats, right? And you take them to a pretty dang epic place for your
Yes.
retreats. Can you share a
Yes.
little bit about, like, because not everybody does this, and I just go for it.
Yeah. So I have been leading retreats at Miraval in Arizona since 2016. And that property is an exclusive property. It's an all-inclusive property, but it's a wellness property. It's very spiritual, very mystical. And like Oprah, Ellen, Gabby Wambach, like they all go there, right? So it is expensive. But it is a mindfulness property. You unplug, like you can't just have your phone out everywhere, but it's also luxurious. So I'm kind of, a luxurious yogi. I don't necessarily want to go do the rustic thing. And so that's where I host the retreats. It's been such a good brand partner. Our values are so aligned. What we're trying to accomplish is so aligned that it has made it very, very easy for me to continue to host retreats there every single year. And obviously, Shay, you deal with this all the time, like dealing with event planners. I now there because I've been doing it for so long, I know most all of the staff, all of the managers, the salespeople. And when you build those relationships, like I'm going to the same venue each time, right? So I can really build that relationship. Whereas when you're moving to other venues all the time, that's where like you really need someone like Shay, right? Who already has those relationships and understands it because it's really hard. But the consistency, I think, has helped me out a lot.
Well, and I mean, they go to the point where you literally drop your phone off and put it in like a little sleeping bag, right? And the phone goes in a sleeping bag next to just like out of sight, out of mind.
Yes,
And you work on
technically
that.
you don't have to do that, but if you're walking around the property, like you could use your phone to take photos occasionally, but like if you were just out texting or on the internet, like that is a no-go. That is a no-go. And that scares people a lot, but then when they come, they're like, "Oh my gosh, this is so nice to not be tethered to my phone."
Right. Well, and I think that's part of it is we are so tied and connected to all of it. So I was just telling you before we got started that we went up the coast and there's not a whole lot of cell service up there, And when we go to the family cabin, there's no cell service. So you can unplug. And I feel that's important for us to do that reflection piece, right?
So important. I mean, I feel like you can't ever really hear the voice within. And, from a spiritual perspective, it's harder to hear like messages, that are bigger than you if you don't disconnect. I think when we're connected all the time, one, we're just like trying to keep up with the Joneses. And I don't just mean that from like the Instagram lifestyle perspective. Even like my scaling, right? My growing. I think when we don't disconnect enough, we just get into a pattern of doing, well, what is everyone else around me doing? And we don't stop to ask those questions of, is this what I want now? Is this what I want now? Is this what my clients need now? And just really just staying in that place of connectivity. And it's really, really hard to disconnect and hear that voice within when you are on your phone all the time, basically listening to the noise of the world.
And so my understanding is these retreats are really supporting the professional women who, are wanting to continue to move forward but not have to have a breakdown moment and bring in that flow and freedom and peace, you know, not sacrificing things, but also not like running it all into the ground, right?
Yeah. Well, I started these, well before I had my own health crisis. Sometimes we have to learn things over and over and over again. But I first learned of Miraval and wanted to start doing the retreats there when I heard a CEO of a very large company speaking about how she went there once a year, and that part of being a good leader and part of being able to grow a big business is being able to take care of yourself. And she was telling all about this place, and I was like, this sounds amazing. So that's when I looked it up and I was like, oh, we're a perfect brand fit. But yeah, so that's who I serve. In my mind, I'm always like, who is that business owner? Who is that CEO? Who is that like high level professional that is always leading others, always serving others, right? They're climbing the ladder and they're doing for others, but like, where do they go
Yes.
to decompress? Where do they go to dig deep? Where do they go to hear that voice within? So the people I work with, they already understand and appreciate the concept of personal development. I think I just create a very safe space for someone of that caliber to come in and really do that work.
Yeah, I love it. And you're right. They're the ones that are always leading, and who's supporting them to create that space and container for them to do the next level of work for themselves. Ah, beautiful. I want to switch gears slightly,
Sure.
energetically, and look at like the stand-up comedy piece. Like, okay, what? Tell me more. And what is that doing for you? And how is that like morphing into what you're doing now and all that?
Well, I think, when I was sick for so long and wasn't doing a lot, I was just sad. And I was just like, I got to get my mojo back. And so I just started trying to figure out what would be interesting, what would be fun. And I just randomly happened to run across a class of doing stand-up comedy. I was like, yeah, that might be fun. So if anyone's ever taken the Values in Action, Character Strength Finder test, which is University of Pennsylvania positive psychology. My number one strength, my number one motivator has always been creativity. And number two is humor. So I love creativity and humor, but it never occurred to me that like I was funny. I like to have fun. I enjoy humor, but I didn't think it never occurred to me I could do that. But like so many things, I think we're taught that art, like, right? It's like this is a skill, this is science, and this is art. But so much of art is a skill, it is a craft, and you can learn it. I have always loved to tell stories. I've always been a storyteller. I have always loved the stage, right? Like, I mean, talking is not like that's not a big deal for me. Being in front of an audience, energizing an audience, that's always been there. And so when I put it together and then just learned the structure of where you put in jokes to keep, right? Like to keep, I never knew that before. It's so fun for me. So now I get to craft these stories that have punchlines and jokes that allow people to just laugh and have a good time. Sometimes just like it's silly, absurd stuff. And other times it's able to take like the super serious stuff that's going on in the world, but kind of laugh about that as well because doesn't seem like there's much else we can do about it. And so that's also led, I think, to more of the MC work. I always, even for my own events, as you recall, I hired Mike Ganino to come MC mine. So it's like, even though I have that skill set, I understand and appreciate that when you're doing your own event, it's great to have someone else holding you and supporting you and your audience in that way. And so I've started doing that as well. And it's actually been a beautiful extension. So I never in a million years would have thought, one, that I could do that, or two, that I would be good at it and enjoy it. And now it's like it makes all the sense in the world because it's really just an extension of who I've always been.
Yeah. And how brilliant, too, that it's like, oh, let me actually utilize my strength in a space that I still get to be on the stages. I don't necessarily have to run the big events myself, but I still get to be a
Yes.
part of it and still get to move people forward. And being an MC, it's not easy. Like, you really have to be called to kind of be an MC and have a certain energy about you in order to, especially in the events that like I run and produce, to bring them in and engage them, to bring up and create authority for who's hosting it, move the event forward, support them in next best steps, bring the like all these pieces. So it is the science and the joy and all of it kind of together.
You know what's wild, Shay? It's so easy for me. Like, it is
That is
so
not a normal
easy.
thing.
But I think it's because, right? Like, this is where it's like I feel like so many times in life we're taught that we have to do very specific things, right? And one thing and one thing only. When the truth is, they all add to and they benefit. So, being a lawyer, having that trial experience, I understand how to ask the questions that will make someone think. I
Yeah.
understand how to, ask the questions that will help people see a new perspective, how to keep them engaged, right? Like how to, all of that. And then just moving to the speaking and the storytelling, because that's really what a great MC does. Not only are they telling stories that support the host, they're also getting the audience to tell their own stories without realizing they're telling their own stories to get them to move forward. I love the journey piece. So it's like the telling the stories and the journey and the lawyering and the speaking. And then I just, I adore helping women rise. I am just, it is, that is my passion project, always has been, always will be. And so it genuinely, and I love marketing and sales. So it's like it all just came together. And it's like, oh, this is so much fun. And it does not feel like work. I mean, energetically, you know what I mean? Like, there's work to show up, but it just feels so graceful and so easy.
I love it. I love it. Well, and you had to go through your fire in order to really land at it at this level. And
Yes.
I've always been somebody more of like, I can appreciate you going through the fire. How do I not have to totally hit that part? Can I learn from you otherwise?
I mean, right? Who knows? I think that we can always learn things and apply it, but can we avoid it? I mean, like my adrenal tumor, right? Like, I don't think that I could have avoided an
Yeah.
adrenal tumor, right? Like, that just
Right.
happened. But I do like to believe that I have learned from all kinds of people over the years, and it at least allowed me to go as far as I could go in that moment, I mean, I think when we go through these fires, it's what we make of it. But do you have to go through a fire, to have those moments? I hope not.
Yeah.
I'd like to believe not.
I agree. I agree. And everybody's fire and temperature is a little bit different too, right? And so I think a piece of it is just being in a community of, I mean, let's just be real, women entrepreneurs that are out there doing the hustle, doing the, how do I do it with flow? How do I do it all together? Just having a freaking community to lean on that. Because you're the one that is always leading everybody else, having somebody else that is more a peer and support, and like, yeah, this is what happened. Let me go like this for a minute, and then be like, okay, great. And they get you.
I feel like there are, and I've been in them and I've led them and they're fabulous. There's a place for everything of having like the really high level masterminds and other group programs where you can talk about business and you can still get vulnerable, but there is, it's very different than just coming into a space just to nurture your body, mind, and soul, but doing it with other women at the same level. It's just a different experience,
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I could talk to you forever and we'll have to
Same.
fill another time to connect. But before I let you go, I would love for you to share with us, if there are women on here interested in connecting with you, what is the best way that they can do that? Do you have, some resources that you can provide? What's the best way?
So my website and Instagram, that's the social that I hang out on the most, is, as Shay mentioned earlier, Heather Joy, Heather Joy Hubbard. So if you go to either one of those, heatherjoyhubbard.com or Instagram, Heather Joy Hubbard, you will find me. I'm on Instagram most every day. You can always send me a DM there, a voice message there. I'm happy if you've got event questions. I've worked with Shay before. She is amazing. I've done virtual events, live events, like the big conference types, as well as the small retreats. So if you ever just need a sounding board or anything like that, feel free to just send me a DM on Instagram.
Beautiful. And so we'll go ahead and put the links in the show notes. But my last question for you is, what is a takeaway or a memorable note you'd like to leave our audience with today?
I think it's what you said earlier, which is your business is only as healthy as you are.
Yeah, beautiful. Thank you so much for being with us today. And I want to thank our audience for joining us on another episode of Creating Powerful Impact. I'm excited for you to take all of these lessons and all of these resources that you've learned here today, start implementing them, reach out to Heather so that you can create even more impact in your world. Until next time, have an outstanding rest of your day. Thank you so much for listening to the Creating Powerful Impact podcast. If you are a successful coach, speaker, author, or thought leader who would like to be on this program, simply visit creatingpowerfulimpact.com/guest. If you are someone who got something out of this interview, would you please do me a favor and share this episode on social media? Just do a quick screenshot with your phone and text it to a friend or post it on your socials. Also, if you know somebody that would be a great guest, tag them on social media to let them know about the show and include the hashtag Creating Powerful Impact. I love seeing all of your posts and great guest selections. We are regularly putting out new episodes and content. To make sure you don't miss any episodes, go ahead and subscribe. Your thumbs up ratings and reviews go a long way to help promote the show, and they really mean a lot to me and my team. Want to know more about us? Head on over to our website, graceandeaseproductions.com, or follow me on LinkedIn, Facebook, or Instagram. Just look for Grace and Ease Productions on your favorite platform. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.